Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Hey, good morning, church family, friends, relatives, and good evening to those on the other side of the planet, and good afternoon to those on the East Coast of America. Welcome to Vintage Faith Culver City. If this is your first time with us, my name is Derek, and I am one of the pastors on staff here at our beautiful church, and we're closing out our three-week series called Back to Basics. And what we've done is we've been taking a look at the four essential aspects of who Jesus is outlined in the four squares that represent our denomination's logo. And as a quick reminder and recap, Foursquare simply means that it refers to a building or a structure having a square shape, a solid appearance, meaning solid and balanced, firm and resolute. And I love that word, resolute, don't you? It meaning our faith in Jesus is determined. It's resolute. We're set to follow him and him alone. And of course, there are biblical origins to the meaning of Foursquare as well, most notably found in the books of Ezekiel, Revelation, and 1 Kings, just to name a few. But all that to say, our faith in Jesus is just that. It's solid, it's balanced, it's resolute. Now, our first week in the series, Pastor Matt looked at Jesus Christ the Savior, of course, represented by the red square and the cross, which is to say Jesus is the Son of God. Say that with me. Jesus is the Son of God. He's our Redeemer. He's our Rescuer, our spiritual lifeguard, if you will. Jesus died on the cross to carry the penalty for the sins of all humanity. And it's the belief in Jesus' atoning death that brings forgiveness, salvation, and eternal life. At its core, the gospel, and that's what the gospel is. It's good news. And last week, we did a combo of sorts, and we looked at Jesus Christ the healer as well as Jesus Christ the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ the baptizer with the Holy Spirit, of course, is represented by the yellow square and the dove. And when Jesus ascended, he left behind the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit's role is to dwell in the believer, to serve as our counselor, to serve as our guide, our comforter, especially in times of trouble. And this is the part I especially love, to be Jesus' real presence here on earth, to be Christ's real presence here on earth through us. And man, with the events of these past couple of weeks, Jesus' presence is needed more than ever. Amen? And we get to be conduits of Jesus' presence, especially in a dark time as this. And of course, Jesus Christ, the healer, represented by the chalice and the blue square. While on earth, part of Jesus' ministry was to go out and heal people. Now, whether physical, emotional, and spiritual, Jesus provided real healing for some of life's common ills. Whether bringing sight to a man who was born blind or raising Lazarus from the dead, Jesus brought healing to folks. And by the power of Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus continues. I'll say that again. Jesus continues to heal the sick and the afflicted to this day. And today, I get to talk about the last square of our denomination's theology. It's the purple square for us diehard Los Angeles natives. It's the Lakers square, if you will. And simply put, it's Jesus Christ, the soon coming King, represented by the glorious crown of God. Y'all ready for this? Y'all still tracking? All right, good. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for today. And you are still good, and you are still God, despite all of the things that has happened over the past few weeks. And we look forward to communing with you today, God. We pray, God, that as you speak, may we hear, may we listen, may we receive, and may we go forth with your truth. in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. And so Jesus Christ, the soon and coming King, at its core is the belief in the biblical promise that Jesus will return, that he will come to earth again. His second coming, as it's become known as. Well, listen, his second coming will be soon, and it will be a joyful time for believers. And let me say that again. It will be a joyful time for the believer. Why? Why is it going to be a joyful time? It's because it's what we've been waiting for. It's when all things will be made right. It's when all things and all of this madness will cease to exist. It's when all of God's children get to go to our forever home. Now, soon, of course, is relative to time, right? Because let's face it, we've been living in what we call the end times since Jesus ascended back into heaven more than 2,000 years ago. And time for God isn't like our understanding of time, isn't it? The scriptures tell us with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. So we have to understand that Jesus' return is soon, yes, but relative to time in the kingdom of God. But because Jesus' return is soon, we, the believing community, have a lot of work to do. Are you hearing me this morning? Are you hearing me this morning? And for this reason, the church, specifically our denomination, as well as here at Vintage Faith, we place a strong emphasis on sending out missionaries both locally and overseas to diligently build up the church and to spread the gospel. Y'all still with me? 1 Thessalonians, I love this. Verse 16, it says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always, always be with the Lord." Make no mistake about it. Jesus is who he says he was. And no matter how dark or confusing or how ill-fated our world gets, and man, doesn't the world seem so out of whack these days? But listen, this continuing pandemic, right? The political landscape. Man, you had folks storming the Capitol. Can you imagine? I mean, how crazy was that? Never in this generation have we ever seen anything like that, right? There's the continuing division we're all experiencing, both socially and spiritually. Our world seems so out of whack, but no matter how bad it gets, Jesus will be returning one day. Listen, Jesus will be returning soon to make all things right. Not some, not a fraction of things, not 99.99% of things. Jesus will be returning one day to make all things right. And some can argue that the worse our world gets, the closer Jesus' return will be, sure. But however way you slice it, whether tomorrow or 20 years from now or 200 years from now, Jesus will return. And all of the fighting, all of the bickering, evil and vile behavior, all of the division, and even all of this pain will be forever wiped away. And that's what I'm looking forward to. How about you? Yeah? Now, before I dive deeper into some of the passages and points regarding Jesus' second coming, I want to take this time to, I want to take this time to set the record straight regarding the end times. Because whenever the discussion of end times comes up, you can't get away with the talk specifically of end times prophecy. End times prophecies have a way of creeping up into the public discourse every so often, even more so now than ever before. And they've been so many. And I'm going to call it for what it is. There have been so many false prophets emerging with so-called valid predictions of when Jesus will return. And you know what happened when these predictions, the projected dates, all came and went? Without any sign of Jesus. Can I be honest this morning? Listen, there is no, and let me say that again, there is no new revelation of when Jesus will return, because that prophecy has already been given in the scriptures. any attempt, according to the scriptures, to update or to add their own version of what has already been prophesied is ungodly and outright sinful. And God said, he says there's a place for folks like that. So what am I saying? I'm saying when someone comes in the name of God, declaring they know when Jesus will return, and it oversteps the bounds of what has already been revealed in scripture, then listen, I'd quickly rebuke that so-called person of God and call them for what they truly are, a false prophet. And listen, and whenever, you know, whether it's 1982 or 2007 or even May 21st of 11, right, being the day of the rapture in October of that same year, I don't know if you remember that, being the day of judgment, right? These and all future date-specific prophecies should all be called for what they are. They're false, they're unbiblical, they're ungodly, and I'll even be bold to say it this way, they are the epitome of being anti-Christ. All right, so let me stop right there because I can get so overheated regarding the matter because I can get just heated about this stuff because I love Jesus so much, and any false claims of him is really out of whack. So number one, if you're taking notes, Jesus' first coming is different than his second coming. Let me say that again. Jesus' first coming is different than his second coming. One, Jesus' first coming is a matter of historical fact. It happened, right? It was documented. We've heard the stories passed down from generations and generations, and other faiths like Islam, believe it or not, also attest to the physical coming of Jesus to earth. It was historical fact. Whereas the second coming of Christ, to the point I was making earlier, it will be the fulfillment of prophecy that has already been made. Most notably, right, the prophecies in places like the book of Daniels and Revelation. And secondly, in the first coming, Jesus was born as a baby. And we just finished our Christmas series, right? And we were reminded about the circumstances of Jesus' birth, being born to a virgin, born in a manger, right? The Gospels collectively capture Jesus' maturation from a child into adolescence and into his adult ministry. But when Jesus comes again, he won't come as a baby like the first time. Jesus will come as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, full on adult in all of his godly glory. The first coming also focused on Jesus being the Savior of the world, whose sole purpose was to make possible the taking away of humanity's sins, past, present, and future. But when Jesus returns again, he won't be here to necessarily take away the sins of the world. He did that already. Jesus will return to take away his followers into eternity. And while Jesus came with meekness, right, with gentleness, with constraint, riding on a donkey, for instance, right, the first time, the second time, Jesus, according to the scriptures, will come as a warrior, right, all powerful in his glory, riding, let's say, a white horse, right? Matthew 24, beginning in verse 30, it says this, "Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the others." Now, the question becomes when we read scriptures like this is, well, Pastor Derek, when is that going to happen? When is he going to return? Well, quite honestly, I don't know. And neither do any of these false prophets who've made claim to the date when he'll return. In fact, Jesus later on in the same Matthew sequence, he simply said, "No one knows about the day or the hour, even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only," listen, "but only the Father knows." But what I do know is this, listen, what I do know is this, the scriptures paint a picture for the believer that it's going to be a time that shouldn't cause fear in any of our hearts when he finally does come. The earth, yes, will mourn. The earth will mourn, right? When the passage here mentions the tribes of the earth shall mourn, in context, it's referring to those who've done evil. Yes, those who've done evil will mourn. Why? Because they're dreading judgment. But for the believer, it's a time that should muster up joy in our hearts because it's the time we'll be swept away with Jesus into eternity, into God's forever presence. It's a time that we should all be looking forward to right now. Amen? It's a time we should all be looking forward to, right? So Jesus' first coming is different than his second coming. And secondly, how we live is important in the last days. Again, how we live is important in these last days. We live in a world of craziness, don't we? We're only at the beginning of 2021, and it's turning out to be just a continuation of the madness we all experienced last year. It's like, you know, part two of 2020. But listen, it's extremely important for us as followers of Jesus, and especially in a time like this, to live out a faith that's based in love and not in fear. And not just for ourselves, but in our engagement of others. We need to engage others with the love of Christ and not try to coerce folks into religion through fear tactics. In other words, we call that holiness. Engaging others with the love of Christ is a holy act, and we're all called to live holy lives. Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5:8, he says, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing." Listen, we may not know when Jesus will return. But in light of not knowing, Paul here tells us to live as children of light. In other words, while we're waiting for Jesus' return, church, we've got a lot of work to do. And that work entails us living a life of holiness toward others, both in love and in truth. In fact, Peter echoes this same sentiment in his epistle in chapter 3 and verse 10. And I'll read from the Message paraphrase. He says it this way, "But when the day of God's judgment does come, it will be announced like a thief. It will be announced like a thief. The sky will collapse with a thunderous bang, everything disintegrating in a huge conflagration, earth and all its works exposed to the scrutiny of judgment. Since everything here today might well be gone tomorrow, do you see how essential it is?" I love that. "Do you see how essential it is to live a holy life? Daily expect the day of God, eager for its arrival." Church, we have an opportunity now to live holy lives that's practical and tangible for others to experience. When I think about the community involvement our church is a part of, you know, things like Laundry Love, Pop-Up Pantry, Love the City Thrift Store, the upcoming coffee shop, even the newly launched Celebrate Recovery over at our Tilden building, these are all loving and practical ways our church is showing the love of God, but they're also examples of how we choose to express our holiness. They're all opportunities that show us to engage in the greater community that's not invasive and not religious fear-mongering. Listen, and I'll boldly say it this way. In many ways, I'm glad the world shut down last year. I'm glad our Sunday gatherings aren't quite the same as it has been. Why? Because it's forced the church to think differently, specifically in how we engage those who desperately need to know or need to be reminded about the love of God. Before I came on staff here at VFF, I was part of a communal pastoral group in the city of Long Beach. We were pastors from different churches and from different denominations that would get together monthly to pray, to strategize, and to talk through what we all sensed the Holy Spirit was revealing. It was a beautiful thing. And I'd say for about 4 years, we all sensed the shift was happening, and our churches had to make the shift in the way the church at large was conducting itself in ministry to the world. In other words, we all felt the old ways of church weren't working anymore. But what we didn't quite know how is that how practically that would look like. In fact, Pastor Matt, being kind of my district overseer at the time, he and I would have conversations about this very thing years ago. But we all knew that the church had to be more intentionally expressive in how we reached those outside of our Sunday walls. In other words, the church's holiness needed to find ways to be expressed in the public square. Now, fast forward to last year and where we find ourselves today, You can say COVID-19 forced the church to intentionally make that shift, the shift that positions the church to make a more powerful impact in our communities. And I can say that we here at Vintage Faith are internally, we're thinking through this paradigm as we speak, and we're making efforts to head in the direction where Holy Spirit is leading. It goes back to how we live in these last days. And it's important that we live holy lives for the world to see. Why? Because the world is desperately looking for hope. The world is desperately looking for solutions to all the mess that we're experiencing today. The world is looking for peace, believe it or not. And I assess this from the conversations I have with my non-believing friends and those of other faiths. But the world is looking for godly authenticity. And we have what the world is looking for in Jesus. But listen, we can't show the world God's reality, right? His holiness in our lives by solely focusing on the Sunday gatherings. You guys still hear me? You guys still with me? You guys still tracking? Good. And finally, which I guess you could say is a part two of point two, we must be committed to sharing our faith in Jesus with others. We must be committed to sharing our faith in Jesus with others. Because it's not just about living holy lives for ourselves, but we must be committed to sharing our faith in Jesus with others. In other words, in these last days, we can't be passive about it. We must tell others about Jesus. Jesus said in his Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel to who? All nations. It's not enough to just invite people to church anymore. It's not enough. We can't be people who only live godly lives for our betterment. It's not just about growing in Christ for our own spiritual development. But we also have to be a people who share our faith and our hope in Jesus more intentionally and more outwardly. Going back to Matthew 24, verse 14, it tells us, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then it says, and then the end will come. You know what that tells us? Instead of trying to predict when the end will come, Jesus lays it out right there. The end won't come until all have heard the good news. So instead of us trying to figure out when the second coming is going to happen, how about we go and preach the good news like Jesus told us to? Again, we live in a broken world that needs the grace and the mercy and the peace of a Savior. And as expected, many people live in fear and in confusion and in desperation, especially at where our world is at today. And although we may not know when exactly and what exact date Jesus will return again, the scriptures do tell us that all of these collective crazy moments, they are the beginning of birth pains. So sure, you can argue we're a lot closer than we were before. But what we do know is that while wickedness increases in our lifetime, love for others will also unfortunately decrease as the end draws near. People will be at a loss and they'll have little hope. And if the events of this past month alone, specifically here in America, is a precursor of what's to come, then this is a great opportunity for us to share our faith in Jesus, more so now than ever before. As a reminder to all of us who call ourselves believers, who follow Jesus, listen, salvation is available to everyone. And as believers in Jesus, we truly are the messengers of this good news. And good news, listen, is meant to be shared, not hoarded. Can I encourage us this morning, church? If you love Jesus, it's as simple as telling others about who you love. We naturally talk about the things that we love, right? Whether it's our love for family, the love of our jobs, right? Our hobbies, love of our talents, right? We naturally talk about the things that we love, and it should be a natural thing for us to talk with others about our love for Jesus, and it shouldn't be that hard. I love this theologian, Carl Henry. He once said this. He said, the early church, right? He said, the early church did not say, look what the world is coming to. They said, look who has come into the world. I love that. Church, it's time. It's time we share our faith in Jesus with those whom God has entrusted us with. Jesus is coming again and soon as our gracious King, ready to usher us into eternity, away from all of this madness, redeeming humankind to its intended purpose. And it's going to be a good thing. It's going to be a great thing. Listen, it's going to be a wonderful, amazing thing. It's going to be a God thing. And I want as many people to know about Jesus as possible. How about you? Jesus Christ the Savior. Jesus Christ the Baptizer with the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ the Healer. Jesus Christ the soon and coming King. Now, for those of you watching, maybe you're on the stream because you were invited by a friend, or maybe you saw one of our church members share our live stream with you this morning or on their feeds, and you just so happened to stumble into our service, and maybe something was said today during the sermon or during our time of worship or during our children's message with Miss B or even during our announcements, and you're like there's something inside of me that's welling up, and I don't know what that quite is. My insides are stirring. My heart is beating abnormally. Maybe you're just moved to pause and are considering where you're at in this whole God spectrum. I mean, you've come this far, right, in our service, and you're still here. Can I just suggest one thing? Can I suggest that God is tugging on your heart right now? He's knocking on your door, right? And because Jesus is gentle and respectful, he's waiting for you to open the door to let him in. It's as simple as saying yes. And it may not make sense fully, but it's a step in the right direction. And if you're out there and you want to give Jesus a chance, listen, if you're out there and you want to give Jesus a chance, I want to pray with you. You can also text yes to Jesus to 94,000 to let us know. And we'd love to chat and help you along in your spiritual journey with Jesus. But today's the day. Today's the day you enter into the loving, the forgiving, the amazing arms of Jesus. If that's you, wherever you're at, will you pray these words with me? Father, I'm not quite sure what I'm feeling right now. But there's something about today that's different than yesterday. And for some reason, I've watched this service all the way through, and here I am. And I confess, God, that I don't know all there is to know about this world, about you, about even myself. But I acknowledge that the way I've been going isn't working. I want to give you a chance, Jesus. I invite you into my life to guide me, to show me your ways, and along the way, help me to repent of my actions that aren't reflective of you. Help me to be a better person in you. And God, I just thank you again for this day. I thank you for those of out there who said yes to you, to at least want to give you a chance to try your ways, to follow you wholeheartedly. Would you transform their hearts along the way? Would you transform our hearts? Would you remind us of the joy that dwells in us, that is you? And may we, in these last days, be more intentional about preaching your truths, your good news to the world around us. May we be more bold to do so in love and in truth. And God, we thank you and we praise you and we give you the glory and all honor in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.